Guess what decision we're about to make.
Horrible decision.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Horrible Decision.
Now, if you are a YouTube viewer today,
go ahead and announce this fucking shit that you're doing, bro.
I got pre-consent from the Horror Hive on live, if it was okay.
Oh, because you work with them. You don't work with them. You ain't even asked me.
What did she sign us up for?
Well, them niggas definitely was like, you could do it, sis, but Mandy gonna say no.
I want to know if anybody with a job asks their friends, hey, you think I could do this at work? And doesn't ask anybody at work, but ask their friends, hey, you think I could do this?
So when one of the questions comes up, like, what kind of conflicts do you guys have? We can talk about this moment. We ran a little bit late today.
A whole lot of late.
So Brilliant Idiots is now at the studio, WTF Media, and unfortunately, niggas nig, and there is a whole production, and their goddamn set is a whole thing. How long is their show?
About 2 hours.
I told you it was about 2 hours,
you
bro.
Did, and it was about three that they needed the studio for. So because of that, I am late to go get my hair done, and the extra hour and a half that we're spending is what they'll do to unbraid and take my hair down. And so I have to now do it myself. Do I have a rat tail comb? No. I have a tiny little brush. This shit sucks.
Because you ain't real. That's why. You motherfucking
be doing it on
my own. You motherfucking take your braids out with an edge brush.
Bro, this sucks so much. I'm not even gonna lie to y'all. Y'all, honestly, this is gonna irritate y'all on YouTube so much because you're gonna wanna help me. So.
Oh my God, that'd be great. I would love to see the comments for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh. They're going to be like, why is she taking it out like niggas always got something to say.
Why
y'all taking it out like this?
First off, the fact that there are so many different ways to take braids out, and I've been someone who was taking my hair out, and they'd be like, that ain't even how you're supposed to do it. Bitch, the way I take my hair out is the way I take my hair out. Mind the business that minds you.
Thank you. Pays you.
Whatever. Y'all do what I was saying.
Mind the business that minds you, bitch. It felt good, though.
It did.
I'm going to try not to take it out all the way so the shit ain't everywhere. I'm going to just try to unloosen each one.
And
I'm
just vacuum again.
Yes, I will have to vacuum again. And thank you for reminding everybody.
We'll vacuum again.
All right, fine. Well, we have a fun show today because we are basically going to answer all of your questions that you have. And we're going to go through everything that was sent in to Horrible to Patreon, to our stories, to my stories. These are some really fun questions. And there are so many questions that we actually can't get to them all. But because Mandy is anal.
I mean.
Heavy on the anal.
I have anal.
We are going to start with Vanilla Shit.
That was so funny.
So many questions. But Vanilla Shit today is from Healthline.com. What causes people to have sexual fetishes? I fucking thought this was really dope. We definitely should bring somebody on to like a therapist or some shit. But
you know what's crazy though? Mm-hmm. And I'm super excited you did pick this Vanilla Shit. But what's crazy is that I still don't like that there's some sort of psychological aspect to our fetishes or our kinks. And I think we talked about how I'm like, at least I have, I hate that it's tied that way.
Really?
Like,
because yours makes sense.
Yeah. Which one?
I think that you like to be dominant because with men, because I think your daddy issues.
I think.
You've even talked about
it. Whoa, but yeah, I just feel like fuck niggas, get money. That's why I want to be dominant, bitch.
Right.
I don't know. I just hate the idea that kinks and fetishes come from trauma bonding or something wrong. And this is why you like. Oh. Like, okay. Here's one. Tell me what, in your mind, psychologically, why someone would like golden showers.
I don't know, but maybe they got this in their shoe. Hold on. ABDL comes up. And if you guys don't know what that is, that's Adult Baby Diaper Lovers Community.
Oh.
They say the only real sexual aspect of it, in his opinion, is being attracted to a specific underwear type. He's like, I relate my fetish to underwear. Seeing a good-looking person in a pair of briefs or a good-looking guy in a diaper, it's just underwear to me. It's not a very specific type. And they don't think this is a mental illness or anything like that.
Good. Because I will say, too, if you guys came to our live show in New York in Sony Hall, we had the diaper lover boy join us on stage. And he got really offended when someone tried to
bring up his children.
They tried to make it seem like this fetish came from some sort of trauma. And he really, like, it has nothing to do. Like,
I don't blame him for doing that.
Yeah, he was upset that someone tried to connect his kink of liking to be changed in a diaper.
And there's not a lot of literature, they're saying, in ABDL. But he said some of his clients have Asperger's. and get positive sensory feedback from wearing a bulkier diaper. He said in these instances, they're not into the sexual fetish side. Most of the clients we have are mentally sound. It's really more the lifestyle. It's not sex. And it's about relaxation and stress relief and taking aspects of that relaxation from childhood when a time was easier, which I thought was interesting, too. Nearly 2,000 people who practice adult baby diaper fetish completed an online survey, and mostly men said that their behaviors or showed that their association to it was from their attachment styles and their parental relationships. For instance, male respondents being more anxiously attached was linked to a desire to be dominated or to have a daddy. That I thought was cool. Furthermore,
I got a daddy. He just a hoe. What? I do. It ain't like I yearned for a daddy. Like, I had the daddy. We saw him every 2 weekends. Right.
I mean, maybe someone just didn't feel, because, I mean, a dad could be around, but not maybe isn't acting like a father. Because one of my homegirls, her baby daddy take them kids every weekend, and she's like, he don't be doing shit. Kid be coming back like, we didn't do homework, we didn't do this. But they're also saying that preference and personality, they also have similarities. But yeah, I did think it was dope. It's basically saying once people develop a fetish or an interest in a lifestyle, how they fulfill their desires basically determines if it's healthy or not, not the act itself.
Okay.
So
just
where
it stemmed from.
Yeah.
Okay.
How they fulfill it. Like, are you just fulfilling it in a healthy way? Like, you might like to get spanked, but like, are you maybe having random people do it that you don't trust? Are you putting yourself at risk? With the diaper fetish, like, are you doing it with people that are consenting? Are you making sure they're in the community too? So it's saying it's not the fetish that's a problem. It's how you execute the fetish that could be the problem. So I thought that was dope because we do be acting like people got something fucked up with them. For the
UB
hors d'oeuvre, we actually talk about this soon. You guys will hear an episode with a Dom, not really a Dom, a BDSM consultant, Troy. We discussed erections and like men coming. And the hors d'oeuvre for this week is don't take the loss of an erection personally. Just move on. Just move on. It happens to all men at some point, and there's not necessarily anyone to blame. If his erection goes soft halfway through foreplay or sex, don't take it personally because overreacting only makes it last longer, makes him feel embarrassed, awkward, emasculated, even more so that he may be feeling embarrassed without you saying anything. So instead of pointing it out and taking heart to it, shift gears, try something else, and resurrect the moment. I think we should ask Eden, have you ever lost your erection and it wasn't for the chick?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
What is it?
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, I'm not going to lie. I get a little nervous when it's like the first time with a new girl.
We've definitely talked about, and that's the thing too, especially because we talk about with Tiana, like a man only has 2 times to show us he got that thing before we like, nah, bro, you got to go. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that we almost don't
consider that,
damn, maybe the first time is going to be bad because this person worked up. He's nervous. Not only is he nervous, especially if you take time to talk to somebody and like make it seem like this is about to be the most freakiest, sexiest, kinkiest session ever.
Yeah.
You want it to be the best, but now you've applied all of this pressure into someone that you're really about to have an experience with for the first time. And I know I've done that before.
Me too.
I shared the story with you guys. Like, I stopped midway and was like, this is not working.
Uber. I think that's different. Like, when someone isn't trying or they're just actually being whack in the sack.
Yeah, but also, like, I told y'all, too, this was before, you know, I got into a relationship. But when I was a ho,
okay,
you know, once again.
Oh, that one was Christmas.
You know, that one was Christmas time. But when I really was out here, like, I love to see the people who I was having sex with have sex with other people. And so there was almost a level of expectations because you're not going to fuck me weak and I see you, you know, busting down the next bitch. So there was almost a
You're not going to fuck me weak.
Bro, you're taking out your braids.
Wow.
Don't you dare sit here and talk about.
I don't know what you're saying. I was just meaning you're dominant.
Really, bro? I'm just saying.
And let me tell you, this is what I really like about ownership. Because, nigga, could we do this anywhere else? Could I be such a nigga?
That's true.
Engine room, I probably could have been a nigga.
I was about to say that. Yeah. You could have done this in a lot of places.
Yeah,
you're
right.
The podcast just environment is none like none other. Okay.
Okay. True.
Because I've, you know, I be drinking, right. I be smoking. So like I've gone to podcasts and I'm like, oh, this is a whole chill session. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. This is what we're doing.
They would be like half open or half filled Hennessy bottles.
How do you guys feel about like, I don't know if this is random to bring up, but I don't know if I like watching people get that lit during podcasts. That's what
Drink Champs is all about.
You
don't like it?
I mean, I wouldn't like it for like other podcasts. I guess
I've never watched Drink Champs. I've just listened to a few things, but I mean more so like, I just don't like when people don't take their works. And also Drink Champs is different because that's their brand.
Right.
It is.
I feel like sometimes when I walk on the podcast and different shit, when people are smoking and drinking too much, I'm like, this is my fucking, like, I don't rock.
If you don't make it, like, if you're not like, we're going to get drunk this episode, that's cool. Or someone shows up drunk and everyone else is sober, that's fun, in my opinion.
Okay.
But I mean, to see everyone plan a drunk episode, excluding like the format, I feel like it's not fun.
Now I'm starting to think we should do a special drunk episode.
Oh, bitch, I'd be lit.
That's fine.
I mean,
I be lit sober, but I mean, it's funny because when I did cocktails, the first episode, shout out to Kiki and Medina, their first episode, you know, they start with a cocktail for their episode, but they used to drink during. Bitch, by the end of that episode, we was drinking Moscow Mules because that was my drink. So they had the Tito's, they had the motherfucking lime juice and ginger beer. By the end, I had to give off our tour dates. And I was like, so will it be in Atlanta, Chicago? And I was like, oh, bitch, I was flying.
We used to memorize that shit. I forgot about that.
We used to have to memorize our tour dates and locations. And I was like, oh, bitch.
We need an add-in. Well, speaking of needing an add-in, we're going to get into, and speaking of our tours, Black Sexcellent this week, I think, makes sense to be us. We have been talking about people in the sex revolution. And a lot of you may be new, and you guys always love a refresher. So we're going to tell you what Horrible Decisions is, how it started, and then we're going to get into questions of our show, us. I basically thought people should ask us, like, a lot of questions about production. People always want to know questions about Mandy and I and our relationship, questions about us separately, things we do on the show, talking over people.
Man, fuck them all.
But... Horrible Decisions started. The idea was, it was 2016 or 17. And Mandy and I hadn't seen each other in about 5 years. And we had dinner together. We were at Serafina. And was it that dinner?
No. It was the dinner that...
No. That was the dinner we discussed the podcast. But I feel like I said, oh my God, you should do it.
No, that dinner was just us catching up. You telling me your sugar daddy paid for your new apartment.
Oh, yeah.
That was that. And then you actually hit me up on the phone after you did
No Chaser
with your coworker at the time. And, you know, you were like, I think we should do a pod. And I was like, and here I go. From day one, I said, well, it needs to be very organized. we should have dinner. But I actually owed Weezy a dinner anyways because she didn't fuck a nigga. I just knew she was going to fuck. That's how literally I was
good
like,
job.
Bitch. I was I like, bitch, to. He live in New York. You live in New York. Y'all definitely going to fuck. And
how long did you give me?
I think 2 months or something like that.
Oh, yeah, you did.
That's it?
Yeah, because and I just knew she was going to fuck him and she never fucked him again. Mm-hmm. But I just knew it. So I was like, fuck.
To be honest with you, I didn't want to because like since the last time I talked to him, fucked him, now he was married. But I feel like really what really kept me was that bet.
Well, damn.
Maybe I would have did it. But I can't lose.
But she didn't want to lose. So we went to dinner then to discuss what the show would look like. And it's crazy because if I'm not mistaken either, I think I ended up staying with Weezy the following weekend.
Yep.
But I had a condom stuck in my pussy. So here we are hanging out. We partied. I said, bitch, this condom still ain't come out my pussy. So we're hanging out. She's like, well, I know a guy, you know, on 59th or whatever. Let's go.
We walked.
Let's go get our vaginas checked together. And the woman did pull out the condom that was there 2 days later. She was like, this is great. This is our first episode. And we literally booked the
studio.
By the
way, shout out to the lady. I think she was Paki or something. I can't remember. But I went back to that place. It's the walk-in gyno on 57th and 7th maybe. And I saw her and I said, oh my God, you know, I have a podcast now. And my co-host actually came in here with a condom stuck. It took her no time. She's like, yes. I mean, a lot of people come in here with that. But I do remember you guys because we were talking to each other through the wall.
Through the goddamn wall. I'm in the fucking lobby and I hear Weezy, yeah, my friend is out there because she has a condom stuck in her pussy. And I'm like, Weezy, really? She's like, sorry. We both just got tested and I got the condom removed. And that is what episode. We were like, this is this is great. Are you cool with talking about this on the pod? And you know,
there were so many things in the beginning that we weren't cool with. And a lot of you guys asked first names, what's your names and things like that. And the reason maybe we hadn't said them for so long is because when we start this show, if you've never heard about it, we were corporate women. And it was supposed to be from this perspective of corporate women. But I still like about what happened with Horrible Decisions is that now it's just business women talking about sex, opposed to like corporate America and that whole thing. But that was our life, man. So
we were two black women in corporate. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even say on the weekend hold, because I was going into work with my clothes from the night before. And we literally just shared that, because even the idea at the time that this kinky, fun living, free spirited woman was only a sex worker or a prostitute or on OnlyFans or a cam girl was just not true. Like, I was an accountant. You were at your job as a sales manager or tech manager. I don't even know what the fuck your title was, but you dealt with a lot of businesses. And we were just like, damn, we're holding these prestigious almost jobs.
Yeah.
And here we are, just sucking dick. Like, what's up?
And we were sucking dick. And we were. To this day.
Still do to this day.
And you know, like, I don't know. I recently did a consultation for somebody and they were like, we want to talk about how we're, you know, working girls and talk from the work perspective. And I was like, dude,
boring. I'm sorry.
Is it? You think so?
Yeah. Like, when we leave work.
I don't feel like I know any podcasts like this.
Yeah, but I feel like when we leave work, the idea of work, we don't want to talk about.
People loved when we talked about our jobs.
And we did it for 5 minutes and got right into sucking dick.
No, that's fair. People like complaining about work, though.
That's fun.
Like, misery loves company in that sense.
I love talking shit about a job. Like, you know, I recently said when I was in LA, I was out with this guy and trying to figure out, like, he was like, what is so shitty about LA to you? Like, why do you feel like people in New York are so pessimistic? And I was like, honestly, I think LA, no shade to anyone who lives in LA. I get it. You'll be upset. Yeah,
we have a lot of listeners there.
I know.
Okay.
And we'll be back. So sorry. Maybe I'll shut up, but I won't. I think people in New York bond off of shit they can't stand. Think about the conversations you have with people in New York randomly that you don't know. You're on the train, something happens, and you're like, look at these motherfuckers, like, and it's just like, that shit is dope. And I'm not going to lie, it's not like I like to be angry, but I do like talking shit. And I love that about New Yorkers. Like, the bonding over shit talking, the bonding over things that can rile you up, including the smell, including the crowded subway, included bullshit, people singing, and you annoyed and they singing on the train, and you look at somebody like, the fuck? That shit be lit.
Facts.
And I want to make sure that we think about those moments, because with Horrible Decisions, there's so much bonding from our whore hive together, because y'all be talking shit. We talk shit about these niggas.
Yeah.
And even though y'all listen now, I'm just saying. So what's our first question, Eden?
Ooh, okay. So we're going to start off strong. Ready?
Whoa.
We starting off strong? Why we can't start off on first base?
Man,
then second
fuck that.
Base. Okay.
We're sticking it right in.
Okay.
With consent.
Let's read the...
With consent.
With consent.
With lube.
Would you like names being read out as well?
Yeah, let's read the first name. Because if it's first and last, it's probably from Patreon. I did Patreon first.
Might butcher it, so kill me later. King Stossi or Stossi.
Okay.
Question. Do you guys find value in developing a better relationship with each other? Any steps you both acknowledge that are needed to foster a more loving sisterly relationship?
You would pick this goddamn question.
It was actually like the last one. I was like,
you know what? I'm gonna be honest with y'all. Just because, and I don't even know if bitch,
I know what you're about to say now.
Yo, we actually just had two sessions of therapy off camera. But there has been a way in which we've been trying to find a way to respect each other, not only on a personal level, which I have the problem with, because I do, again, just think of this as a job now. This is a job. And, you know, and I use this, I even use this analogy in our therapy session, and I know you hated it, but, like, I have this idea that when you work with someone, when you have the same goal in mind, you have to get it done. Whether you like the person or not.
So, and I agreed with you on that.
Okay.
But the only reason I thought it was different is because Mandy said to our therapist, and she was
so
right.
So you're not going
to
let me finish? Because we is going to talk about how you just be cutting me off. Mm. But the analogy was...
I think there's a question for that
you
one,
You see
too.
What I mean? There is a question for that. No, but the analogy was... And again, this comes right off of talking about corporate, so you actually did a great segue there. When I was in corporate America, there's always people that you're going to work with that you may not like. You know what I mean? So just because we work together doesn't mean we have to eat lunch together in the cafeteria. Doesn't mean we have to take our smoke breaks together. Doesn't mean I have to join you for happy hour after work. But yes, does it make sense for me to come in and be like, hey, how was your weekend? I really don't give a fuck about your weekend, but because we have to work together, I'm always going to try to have some sort of a civil relationship, professional relationship with someone. And I guess it's hard, and there are blurred lines here because we're talking about our very right. intimate lives. So, and that's what you said.
I was saying to Mandy, like, because I agree with that. Like, I could go in my last job and be like, whatever, I don't give a fuck. Like, I just got to get the job done. But the problem with horrible decisions when we aren't getting along is that we actually genuinely have to be interested in those conversations.
Yeah.
And no, I don't think we need to be friends. Because a lot of you say, why don't you guys want to be, like, how come you can't be friends or whatever? I don't think we need to be friendly buddy-buddy to do this job. But I think we do need to have a better personal relationship and be on a more level, like, playing field of like a mutual respect instead of anger, of in order for the vibes to be good. Because y'all know when we have an episode and it's weird.
Oh, and if y'all on Patreon,
y'all be knowing.
Y'all know when the tension is high.
They just know it.
Patreon is really the only place right now where they're like, oop, is y'all not getting along this week?
I hate them hoes.
They be calling
they
us
fighting.
Out.
The girls are fighting. But yeah,
and that's important that it doesn't therapy, bleed into our content.
It was because we had a little Twitter argument. And, you know, I think that one thing I learned is that, like, we really talk to each other like shit. And it's because we are, like, so brash. And something that happened to us a few days ago is realizing, like, we have known each other 15 years. That's crazy.
And we'll, I guess a lot of people did, too, want to know how the fuck did, how don't y'all like each other and y'all even be around each other? How did that mean? How did this start? And yeah, to be very fair, y'all, we knew each other 15 years ago. We met, I think, in person for the first time fighting, ironically.
That's crazy. Well, one of the questions about that is the guy. So we'll get into that. But
okay.
But no, I think we've outgrown a lot of what we were as friends. Like, and it's different. And we've changed a lot. You know, I've changed a lot. You've grown in different ways. Like, our interests are different. So, like, the friendship necessarily, no. I honestly don't think if we were friends today, we would do the same things. Like, so if maybe bar hopping or, like, some random shit or
no,
dinners.
No, because you'd be at the white bars.
Mandy, I like black shit. I go to Lap, too.
This is a black owned business.
Lap does not count as black. That is mixy shit.
Is it? Okay.
Yes. Fair.
But like, no, like on the weekends was, when I hit up my friends.
Really, I'm going to tell y'all what happened. We did try to hang out at one time, right? And this is when I was poor. Bro, she was taking me to shit with $24 drinks and trying to bar. Bitch, I haven't finished my $24 fucking cocktail.
Bro.
Slow down.
Why?
So I'm paying $24 a drink to be around niggas that don't want me.
Why
so
are you
I'm
like
also
this,
leaving. To go sleep with Weezy after spending hundreds of dollars
I do like a bougie place.
Bro, bougie and niggas not buying my
but
drink.
But those moments are over. But yeah, no, like, but I feel like the shit I be doing on the weekends, like, I love a good art gallery. I love, like, doing a workout or, like, going to the Strand with my friend. And I feel like, man, it'd be like, bitch,
that sounds awful.
I love a little art gallery day. I go on Seesaw. It's this art app. And you basically bounce around a different shit, like... And, you know, I just feel like, man, you'd be like, bitch, shut up.
Bitch, what are we doing?
But, no, like, I think that's a great question. What are we doing to work on the relationship? And that was it. And
we,
I think...
Yeah, we are in therapy.
Damn, somebody broke something.
Right.
But I think one of the best things is that, yeah, we now understand that. And that also knowing, like, the therapist said something I thought was funny. Mandy was like, I don't need to do this. I don't need to do that. I'm just up front. And he goes, okay, Mandy, well... With FBI agents, when they're trying to negotiate with terrorists, they too can show empathy. Do you think you could do that? I was pissed. I was like, he called me a fucking terrorist.
You definitely are a terrorist.
But anyway, that's what we're doing to work on our shit. And honestly, I think just acknowledging, because I said to Mandy, like, yo, like, I'm going through too much shit and you're going through too much shit and we've known each other too long to be each other's. And it, this show should be relaxing and fun. And so we are trying. So there, y'all bitches can shut
there
up.
There you go.
We know y'all have argued before, but has it ever gotten serious?
I was like just going to tell you, most of these questions are like, do y'all hate each other? How do y'all handle each other?
I should have let Weezy start picking stuff.
Yeah, so...
This one I like, though.
Just to segue even more into it real quick, but we know y'all have argued before, but has it ever gotten serious? Like, a high consideration of quitting or stopping the show.
100,000%.
Nigga, Mandy said, we need to know how to do a dissolution of the business.
Oh, because when Weezy was like, yeah, I'll be very honest with you and the audience. And my peace of mind recently, which the reason for this episode, guys, is just because we both had to have talks through ourselves. I mean, because we don't talk on a friendly level, there are a lot of things that Weezy and I have been both dealing with on a personal level that neither of us knew about each other.
Yeah.
And so what happened was the projection of maybe just not wanting to deal with any stress with this show because of everything else. I didn't know what she was going through. She didn't know what I was going through. And so our disconnect probably came from literally not having that empathy or compassion, knowing what we both were really going through. And yeah, it just with everything that I've been dealing with this year, not only with horrible decisions, but with my two other shows and starting a business and just being so, I don't know. I don't know where I'm at right now mentally as an entrepreneur, as a lot of things. I literally, yeah, Weezy came at me real hard and I CC'd our lawyer. And was like, well, listen, maybe we should discuss what a dissolution of
I said, Mandy
like.
Can have the conversation.
Yeah, she literally was like, you can have the conversation because I ain't paying for this. And I was like, no, because at this point, so, what is buying you out look like? Like, and I was just so frustrated.
I felt the same. Yeah. Bitch, you could go.
Bitch, I will buy your ass out.
Bitch, you can't buy me, ho. You
bitch,
go.
I
buy,
bet
ho.
You I could buy, buy you, ho. I could buy you, bitch.
All right, so, I'm going to be devil's advocate. How much would it be to buy you out?
Oh!
You know, I actually wondered, like, because we don't really have a buyout. We didn't talk about
we
a buyout.
We didn't discuss that.
And I wondered what that would be like. Right. And I was like, what would I do? And honestly,
you don't set your price. It's based on the...
I don't know.
It's based on what the show is worth.
Exactly. Okay, that's the...
It's based on what
the show
is worth.
That's the real part. There's equity and... Okay, but then, no, how much money would it be?
But you know what? I really can't even tell you.
But you know what? She also... It doesn't count because even when she used to talk about how much money it would take for her to shit on somebody, she be throwing these real ridiculous numbers
yeah,
out there.
Like
$1 million to shit on somebody. Bitch, you would shit on somebody for $1,000. Stop lying.
Depends on
but
the person.
But she come on the show talking about $1 million.
I do very decent.
You be saying $20,000. Like,
you be saying that.
Bitch, I go down about $3,000. Ho, what you mean? My numbers be realistic. See, when I be talking about
I
sex.
Just feel like it would be hard because it's just the time and the years.
Right, of course.
And so, honestly, I didn't know what to, like, I didn't know what buyout things were. But I also knew and realized, like, it's just like, this show is so valuable as Mandy and I. It's not even funny.
Of course.
Like, you know, when I watch other shows, like, and sometimes the friendliness is cute. I'm like, it's just, we're so like yin and yang that it's almost become the brand of us.
But outside of the brand of us, I'll be very honest. When me and Weezy do get into like our spats, we always come to say this show is bigger than us now.
Yeah.
Like from the live shows to the emails that we get to the DMs on how many lives we've changed and how many relationships we've mended and how much confidence we've instilled in other women. We literally be like, bruh, it ain't about us. Like, right.
Eden or Alex? No, it was Alex that did an episode where we were screaming at each other and they had to stop mm-hmm. it. Might have been Eden too. But I remember Alex.
Been tempted.
I was about to say that.
He always talks about this with me when it comes to Mandy. If I've ever gotten in an argument with Mandy and talked to him about it, he's like, I have never seen two people talk to each other like that and click.
Yeah.
But I think the only reason we click is because we understand what we're doing it for. And I really had to look outside of myself. And therapy did that a little bit to me, too. I was like, what we do is just so big. And people may feel like it's small. That's fine. But like to go on the road, I don't know how many cities we've done and see that, how you touch people. It's over with. Vinny, I think we argued in one show. And Vinny was our assistant at the time. And he was like, girl, look at all these fucking people outside.
Word.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And it's true. Like, how can I let this moment of a disagreement because we're so bullish? Like, really, it's stupid.
But also for the podcasters listening, this really becomes so much more than just showing up and talking on a microphone.
We're married.
And I don't think that people understand the business of podcasting, especially when money's involved, especially when there's teams involved. Like, we have an agent. We're part of a network now. Like, even Charlamagne was here earlier and was just like, what y'all do? Like, cannot be replicated. And it's so hard for this just to happen. And I think a lot of times with podcasts, you know, you have an idea and you want your friends to join in, or you know someone that would be a good fit. And there's so much more to podcasting than just showing up and talking.
Yeah.
And Yeah. So to all the podcasters that just think it's just showing up, yeah, it's not. And also, I would never suggest you guys to start a business with your best friends. That's something that's often asked.
No.
Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it.
If you want to be a great podcaster and you have faith in it, if you do it with your best friend, just know you're going to lose your best friend.
And speaking of Charlamagne, when the Twitter thing happened, he gave me a call. He was like, hey, I just wanted to check on you. Everything all right? I was like, whatever, you're all right. And he was like, well, I'm going to tell you right now. Y'all better get it together. Because Horrible Decisions is big. Either one of y'all leave, it doesn't matter because it's not the same show. And right. Y'all could just keep thinking, whatever, I could do this. And he was like, you can't. This is Horrible Decisions. This Mandy and Weezy is your shit. Like, get it together. And it's true.
All right, Charlotte.
All right, ready?
Next question.
Tell us about the dude you both dated that made you guys frenemies when you were young.
Do you remember his last name?
This is from Chelsea.
Oh, hell yeah, that is his last name.
Let me look him up.
Oh my God. So guys, here's what happened, right? I started dating a guy. We'll call him Jay. I started dating him and Weezy was his ex. And I guess Weezy was not over him, but he had moved on to me.
He was lying. Oh,
bro, we went to Disney World together on Christmas, bro. Yeah, so you was, okay, you were probably still the side chick.
I'm looking him
up. Maybe you was giving him pussy. I wasn't.
Mm. I never had sex with
him. Me neither. That is the crazy thing. We also fought over a nigga that we never had sex with.
It'd be like that.
But bitch, I was with him on Christmas at Disney with the friend and met the family. Thank
Mandy,
you.
I think he lives in Brooklyn now.
No fucking way. He does not live here.
The only person with his first and last name went to school in Orlando, had some work in Orlando. He was from New York.
Yeah. He was a New York nigga, wasn't he? He's back.
Dog, we gotta invite him. When we do a live show, I'm my mama. We gotta invite him.
Oh my God.
Because I bet you he's not that cute no more.
I bet you he's, oh my
God.
Is he cute?
Facebook?
Can you see a picture of him?
No, it's just okay. LinkedIn.
Well, that's probably why he wanted me, because I could braid his hair and you probably couldn't.
Ooh. I couldn't.
I know you couldn't. But anyways, we literally just started this just battle because she was still claiming to be in the picture, but this was my boyfriend.
I wasn't claiming, but
she was claiming. And so again, this was back in 2004, 2005.
Let's talk about more the guy more than the whole story. What was he like?
He worked at a vet when I was dating him.
Mm-hmm. His sister was a veterinarian.
Yes.
He was like an assistant.
And he was like an assistant at the vet. I mean, he had a car. He was an older guy. I probably shouldn't have been with him now that I think about it.
He was in high school too, though, I thought.
No, I was a freshman. He had graduated high school by the time I was a freshman.
Wow.
He was out of high school. He was like 18, but graduated high school. I was 14, 15.
Okay. I met him when he was in high school.
Yeah, you did. Because you dated him like a year before I did.
That's right.
Yeah, by the time I dated him, he was.
You stole her, man.
I didn't steal him. He was single when I met him.
Dude, honestly, I'm trying to remember as much as I can. It didn't seem like Mandy and him were together when we would speak. Because he was just like, oh, I just met this girl. Because niggas lie.
Niggas lie.
And no, but we did find that out when we finally became friends because Mandy and I got on the phone and was talking about the shit he was saying. And it was like,
no, because we became friends way later.
Yes, because we bonded talking about what the fuck Jay did.
Okay.
Fuck that nigga. So anyway,
fuck him though. So that's how, that's what happened. What's next? What other question?
There you go. I've never said y'all in my life. I'm going to be honest with you. Has a guy or girl ever seen y'all in person, lied about not knowing who y'all were, and tried to get with, I'm going to just say it, y'all. Shout out to G. Clark Jr.
YAW, he's saying. So I went on a Raya date where a guy didn't tell me he knew who I was till the end of the date, and I didn't like that. And he might be listening to this episode. He said he's listened to every episode.
What's crazy is one of my... like partners that I talked about often on the show, and he listens to this episode. He listens to the podcast. When you guys knew I had a guy in my life that like put me on payroll, I think is how I described him on the show.
Right.
He didn't tell me until maybe 3 years into us like really fucking with each other.
You knew he listened. Huh?
No, he didn't know me from the podcast.
Oh, that's
he
right.
knew me from Twitter days and my blogging and
no.
So what's crazy?
That's why he tricked on you the first day.
So what happened?
He knew
was,
you wasn't shit.
That's exactly probably how. So my very first job here when I moved to New York, I helped open the Applebee's across from the Barclays. I was a bartender there, and
this
guy.
Still there?
Yeah, still there. This guy came in and he was so strategic and he told me all this. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? He sat at my bar. He ordered, wings and stuff. Didn't really talk to him at all. But I knew he asked to put the Orlando Magic on TV. I was like, Of course, I'm fucking from Orlando. I'm in New York. You're a Magic fan. Oh my God. He's like, yeah.
She can't wait till she's from
Florida. He's like, yeah, you know, I used to live in Central Florida. Da, 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 da. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then when he went to leave, his bill was $40. He left me a $40 tip. So of course we exchanged numbers. Mm-hmm. And then literally he told me 3 years later, like, I knew exactly who you were, where you work, because you tweeted about it. I came in, knew you were a Magic fan. Wait, why?
You knew where you work because you tweeted?
Of course. But back then, I didn't. Like, he knew I was at that's Applebee's. Like, nigga, I used to tell fans, pull up wherever I bartended.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
I was a bartender.
Never mind. Well,
pull
yeah.
up.
That's different.
Like, yeah. I used to tell people yeah, where I bartended. Hey, it's my shift tonight. Like, they used to always come to the clubs that I worked at. But he didn't tell me that it was strategic. His tip that he left, him asking for the Magic game.
You were probably talking shit and tweeting about
it. I didn't know until like years later after he became my sugar daddy. What did I really call him? My partner. That he knew exactly who I was the whole time.
Well, I think if he would have said it at that moment, it would have been okay. But so far after that,
three years later.
Oh, that's tough.
After like we have said, you paying my bills.
Because when you're making it too late, 3 years, like how could you not?
He had to tell me like, I knew you when I pulled up to the Applebee's.
When's the last time you've heard from him?
Oh, we still talk.
That's dope.
That's cool.
We still talk. So much so to where he, I went to Miami and he knew I was going to Miami to host. So he was going to pull up on me. And he was like, he was like, so next weekend's still a thing. I said, if you want to grab a drink with me and my boyfriend. And he was like, sent the little asterisk and was like, refunds night at Fountain Blue.
Refunds
like,
night? Oh.
He canceled his reservation.
I would have too.
Because he's just like,
he always wants to know. Hold on,
I was
pussy.
Like, damn, so we not friends? No, we're not.
Now the next question is from someone, shout out to Mahogany. I did a day where we fed people at a mission and Mahogany is one of our patrons and I met her there. I think this is a really dope question, actually.
Did your first round of ads come from people that support you already and goals, not monetary, or did you go into places and pitched?
So our first ads, no bullshit.
Bitch, we was selling $50 ads.
I know. This was no, I really like this question because Mandy and I, our goal was we're investing this much into the show. We need to recoup this money. So how can we make sure we're not paying for each episode, right? Whatever it was at the time. What was it, $100?
Bitch, it was like 35.
No. When we started doing video, about $100 an episode.
Oh, yeah.
Which you, by the way, can come and shoot at WTF Media for $100 fucking dollars a 4K video. And I did that shit on purpose. Because I know what it's like.
It was like $100.
You know what I mean? I know what it's like to want to start off and do shit and where now we've got the four angles. You guys are watching us with the clips Eden does. I felt like for an episode with video, $100 is fair. And I wanted people to be able to pay that too. You know what I'm saying? So like when we started, we wanted to make sure we can recoup that with video because it was so expensive. So we were selling ads to people in music. Dog, we got to find them shit.
Bro, we don't have to find it. If you guys go to like the earlier episodes, you'll be like, and this episode was brought to you by this artist and this is his new single.
You remember
check
that?
It out.
Yes, of course.
And we played it at the end and sometimes in the beginning of episodes. P. Mona was one of the first people who paid us to come on as a guest almost.
We've never charged anyone before, but he offered us the money. And
we was like, we going to start doing this shit. Was he?
I can't remember.
He was problematic as fuck. Talked about how he was just out here fucking everybody with no condom and everything.
I'm just thinking about when he asked our moms about the cum. I don't remember his episode.
That was at the live show.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, so that's what happened. All right, this next one is from Caucasian. Never mind.
Oh, no, we already got that one.
Oh, this one's good.
I just don't want to show it on screen because then you'll know what it is.
Oh, okay.
Why haven't you fixed your teeth? Or if you will, why or why not? Crooked smile,
from
J.
Yeah, that's
Cole.
Julie. Wow, shout out to bitch. Julie. Yeah, that's, say her name. Say her
Julie.
Name.
You know what's crazy? I actually just brought this up my other podcast. So I've paid the money. I have the Invisalign, been putting it in. Cool. And no, the way my mouth hurts.
What did I tell
and
you,
and the
Mandy?
Way that I like sucking dick.
What
like,
did I tell you?
I literally, like, it tore up my mouth so much.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It made it, I was just like, I'm, you know what? If J. Cole can still be J. Cole and rap
she
about
put crooked
his,
smile, J. Cole.
He rapped about his
so
crooked smile.
This.
And it doesn't, honestly, guess what? This doesn't keep me from making money because I got money.
Well,
and
I guarantee you I'm not going to make more. Like, I don't even think she was coming at you. This was in my I listed it. I really think this is yours.
Oh, I thought it was just for both of y'all.
Oh, both of us. No, they talk about both of our teeth. Both of them talk about
But it's funny because I had Invisalign and it was so painful I had to stop. Okay. And then when Mandy got hers, I was like, bro, you know the shit.
I ain't going to hold you. Let me tell you. I paid for it. It was only supposed to be 4 months. I got a call last month like, hey, it's time for your retainers. And I said,
I ain't ready.
Oh, bitch. Mind you, it is 16 trays. Oof. I was like, bitch, I'm on 4. Like, you got to give me some more time.
Yeah.
And now they started texting me like,
I put it in my mouth the other day.
Time to change your tray. Bitch, I'm supposed to be on 9. I'm on 6. Yeah. I'm still not keeping
up. At least you're on 6. That's actually really good. What a waste of $2,500.
What a waste.
That was with my insurance for Invisalign years ago.
What a waste.
This one's a really good question too. Who comes up with topics and guests? I love this question. Mandy and I, if you ever, we can go to the next question, Eden. If you ever listen to an episode and someone starts it and starts leading it, that's who made the episode.
No, because I still always start it.
No. I mean, like, who's like introducing?
Oh, the guest.
That'll be your guest on basically who did it. But Mandy and I, we split it pretty 50-50.
That is the thing too. I know that a lot of other podcasts, when they start, they ask if they need a producer and cameraman and studio and engineer. And we still are very much, we have Ed in here with us, but we're still just us. We answer our own emails. Yeah. Anything regarding ads does have to go through iHeart now, but. We get our guests. We approve our ads. We make all of our outlines. And just to also, my friend asked, and I shared this on Patreon, in 2 days, we recorded 6 episodes. And my friend was even just like, who comes up with that content? And I said, Weezy and I.
Yep.
So even down to the research, the segments, everything literally comes from Weezy and I. We have no one helping us. We have no assistant still.
That's what's good about, please don't hit us up for it. Don't hit us up for some assistant shit.
I know.
Everyone. And it's funny because sometimes I'd be like, it naturally seems like it would be Vinny, but also like this kind of stuff isn't so bad. I think that's what really connects us to our show and our audience is that we make it.
Right.
Love this question. Which one is the diva out of the group?
Yes.
You.
You're definitely the diva.
Yeah. Okay, wait. Figure it out.
Okay, wait.
I wanted to hear this.
Eden, of the both of us, are you serious? I'm the diva?
Over the years, you cannot
it's
put
two
into
different
play
qualities of you diva, and I relationship. Okay, okay.
Because he and I are working together in this studio now. That's different because he sees how I be acting day to day.
Who is the diva?
You're in-person diva. You're texting diva. Oh, you guys can't see who I'm pointing at. Mandy is texting diva. You're in-person diva.
What's the texting?
I'm corporate. So texting diva.
I'm
right.
Corporate. I am matter-of-factly. If I can't text you, do you want to be in our email threads? Because those she even hates even more. I highlight. I bold things. She fucking hates emails.
I feel like
you're yelling at me or giving me direction and I'm not going to listen to you.
No, I don't say that anymore.
Not anymore. But like,
because I realize you're
just, I don't know. That sounded like texting diva to me right now.
Diva, no. I'm very business. Like, I'm very.
I mean, yes, that too. But
he wants to say you a bitch.
I didn't say all that.
That's exactly what he
really wants to say. I didn't say all that.
This is about diva, not bitchy.
But y'all both are divas, and then you are in person diva,
bro. You for sure are.
What does that mean?
I'm trying to
wait.
Think
can
of a
we
good
pull
example.
Up the definition of diva? What
sure.
is a diva? I guess. What are we thinking?
I don't
of
know. But if it says Beyonce when it come up, then I'm gonna take it.
What the fuck? That's not what I'm talking about. Oh, there you go. A self-important person who is temperamental and difficult to please.
Come on, son.
That's both of y'all.
Let me tell y'all. I wish I wasn't on braiding my hair right now because I know it's going to be the clip. Bitch, it's you. And niggas going to vote. No, we don't need niggas to vote. They don't know what the fuck going on in here.
Right.
They ain't even know who came up with the outlines.
Right.
Bitch, us.
Well,
they don't know. They
guess who's coming up with the clip. Eden? Let's put a poll.
No,
we are doing this one because, bitch, it is you. How difficult to please.
That's you for
Mandy
sure.
Mandy could walk into the Ritz-Carlton into a brand new
difficult
room
to please?
And be like, oh, why are the curtains closed? That
I literally said, I get off and I'm pleased by pleasing others. I suck dick because I get enjoyment out of pleasing others.
Are we talking
and yet
about-
I'm hard to please. I get pleasure by pleasing others. That doesn't sound like difficult to work with at all.
They
next question,
difficult
please.
To work with. They said diva, bitch.
No, bitch, I ain't no
but
diva.
Now that you said it for yourself.
next question.
From Danny. Tell us the truth. What did y'all really think of the City Girls? Because that episode was whack.
Mandy, what did you think of it?
So that was actually in my roundup for 2020 as just one of the episodes that I thought should have made the list. I think that if any of you guys came to our tour shows, we walked out to City Girls. Were they who we thought they were in their songs or even their tweets now?
The tweets weren't like that when we interviewed them.
No, they were not. And I think I talked about this on Patreon. I want to be very fair with you guys too. Weezy and I recorded this morning. I cried. Do you think we wanted to be in the studio and keep doing, like, we've been going through so many things personally. To be fair, Young Miami had just lost one of her baby fathers a couple weeks, maybe even before. This was also their first run together since JT had been out of jail. Right. And we were also their first in-person interview with COVID. They did all of those other interviews for that album that dropped virtually. And me and Weezy flew down to Atlanta for this interview. Right.
Wasn't it like 45 minutes before they didn't want to come?
45 minutes before they were like, and I said, listen, we'll do it for 30 minutes. But to be very fair, yeah, there was a lot of different variables involved with that.
But they did a good Breakfast Club interview.
They did, but this was a lot of celebrities now are now coming for the very first time onto podcast. And I knew people that worked for Capitol Music Group and QC, and they were like, yo, we're adding podcasts into the mix. I love Horrible. Can we bring them on? And shout out to Brittany. Shout out to everyone over there at QC. It was, I think they just weren't ready for everything that Weezy and I sat down like, so how do you suck dick, bitch? And I really don't think that they're used to even interviews being that way. So I don't know. Your thoughts, because I know you hated it. We talked about it. You hated it. And I get why.
I hated it because I think it made us seem so abrasive. And I don't think we treated them different. That's really why I hated it, because I realized what it made us look like. And that.
You think it made us look unprofessional that we couldn't match the energy of our guest?
Like people were saying, like, they're too hyped to be here. And I'm like, nigga,
you seen the show?
Yeah, right. Exactly. But maybe also that. And then I wondered too, like, should I be matching someone's energy? But then also like, no.
We never do.
Because the best part of that show was when we were sitting on the couch alone laughing about a question we had.
Right.
And I do think a lot of it did have to do with maybe her baby father passing, but JT, I don't think was bad.
I liked JT. I feel like I would hang out with JT. I would fuck JT.
She's fun.
JT was actually fun.
I like her on live.
And so I do think too, you have to understand, if me and Weezy are in a room and I can sense Weezy down, I'm going to feel uncomfortable or feel like, oh, I got to pick stuff up. So, and mind you, JT hadn't done a press run yet because she was locked up. Right. Like, they saw stardom while JT was away. And
she's obviously the star of that group. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh, yeah, no, of course. I love them both, because I don't like that people do that with us. I'm not going to pin them against each other. I think they're both great and they bring just different things to their duo.
I think a musical group is different than pinning them.
Oh, hell no. Nah. We Outkast, bitch. We a duo, and people gonna pin us together against each other the same way they do artists. Like, it's just a thing.
That's fair.
You know? So I ain't gonna do that, because we uplift Black queens, okay? We don't tear them apart. What's next?
All right. Can you guys stop talking over your guests?
Nope, I'm talking over Adam right now.
Is this something you can work on?
I don't think so. Maybe, I don't know about you.
Raquel, this is a great question.
No, I don't think so.
Great question, Raquel. Can they?
Okay. What do you think it is? Like, honestly, I sometimes think we're doing better, but then I realize no. And then honestly, it's one or the other that does it more each episode.
Yeah.
One episode even is Mandy doing it worse. One episode is me doing it worse.
I think you guys just get so into the topic that it's so hard for you not to release that thought and then try to move on. But it's so funny to see guests' social cues when they're like, I guess I'm going to just have to wait here. until something happens.
So maybe it was me. With Olivia Troy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, wow.
Shout out to Olivia Troy.
Well,
shout out. Yeah, you was, I was.
All right, well, y'all would have seen that last week, but fuck y'all. Shit.
You said what?
You guess which guest was you in the last few that we recorded?
None, because I did great, bitch.
Oh, my God.
Which one was it?
I'm cutting off Weezy in the solo episode right now.
C-Note.
C-Note, okay.
Yes. I barely talked that episode, so that's bullshit.
And the times you talked over him. I promise you.
So I don't know what he was saying. Okay.
Hey, well, we heard.
He was soft-spoken. Maybe I don't know how to be in a room with soft-spoken people. Sorry.
I saw somebody say, like, what if we gave them headphones? And I feel like it'd be worse. if we gave y'all headphones to not talk over
each
other?
Well, and what's crazy is we don't do it now,
yeah.
But I used to wear headphones just to make sure everyone's levels were a certain, you know, me being fucking corporate and wanting to be in control all the time. But, you know, we talk about it a lot. You guys may listen, although we have a structured podcast, we talk about how much this is really a conversation.
I was about to interrupt you to say that because Mandy goes, we had interviews in our bio.
We don't do interviews, my nigga.
Take it off because people think we're interviewing them. If it's a conversation.
It's a conversation. And that's the thing. When you guys listen to us, even when we bring people on, we bring them into our world.
But the problem is we'll say the word interview sometimes.
You say it, bitch. I ain't saying we interviewing nobody. We talking with such and such today.
Okay, we're done.
You feel me?
Okay. Don't worry.
My bad. It's just the TV went out. Real quick. So, a couple last questions.
Yep.
Why do y'all give so much clout to cigarette?
Oh, we could skip that.
Wait, so what?
I'll tell you about what that question was later.
Oh,
that was just a messy question. And I...
Oh, keep the mess out.
I mean,
keep the mess out.
La, 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 la. Oh, how do you guys handle people? And this is from GV31. How do you guys handle people saying that they might enjoy other podcasts more than Horrible Decisions?
They said your solo podcast, I think.
Nope. How do you guys handle people saying they might enjoy your other podcast more than Horrible
Decisions? I really like this question. And I think the reason it's such a good question is because we have to learn how to take it that as it's not an insult.
Yeah,
for one,
as an insult.
We have a show that is very flagrant about sex. We talk in detail about our personal lives. We are loud on this show. It is not like our other shows because of the fact that we are all over and we have a dynamic on this. So no, I know Horrible Decisions isn't for everybody. I have people come up to me in the street and say they like what I'm doing. I'd be like, and aren't listeners of the show because it's just not for them. I've had people say, oh, I don't really, but you know, good for y'all. I understand that sex isn't for everybody. So if you want to listen to it for fact's sake, because you find it to be easier listening. That's a very easy listening podcast. Or if you like, see, the thing is because you want to hear about culture and what's going on what's up to date.
We talk about music and then even
that's a different thing.
Period says, and it's crazy because someone came to me and was like, oh my God, all she does is talk about sex on all of her shows. And if we're talking about Boosie's comments on Lori Harvey and her body count, like I don't, it's in pop culture as well. And yes, I have a way of talking about sex where I'm just very, very fucking comfortable. And I know that that makes other people uncomfortable. And then even period sis, that is, I don't even know how many men even listen to it. That has everything to do with feminine hygiene and health. So it's more of women sharing their stories. That is a interview format and it's also digestible in like 20 to 35 minutes.
I think the thing with us as personalities, though, which would maybe be a good thing to wrap that up so it doesn't have to come up again. But on For Fact's Sake, even when we did a chicken recently, I have a joke where I will try to make every fact about sex. So I wanted to figure out how chickens fucked. We talked about chicken, why black people like fried chicken. Where did that stigma come from? We talked about chicken's memories, like random facts. But like, I always make the joke that I'm going to do the sex fact. That is our personality.
It is. It's us. Like literally, I can be at a restaurant with you. And if my food is spicy across the table, I'm going to be like, no anal sex for me tonight.
Like
that is literally who we are.
But that's why y'all like Horrible Decisions, right? Like,
right.
And so I think that you enjoying our other podcast, I feel no way about that. Because
I don't either.
Yeah, I think that's a fine question.
Mandy, how does your family mom feel about your public disdain for white people? You speak so harshly about them on the pod. And this is from Unapologetically.
You know what's crazy? I do want to, I really like this because
I thought it was a good question too.
Last year there was a huge disconnect with my sisters and my mom because Black Lives Matter. She wanted to go and protest because of course my mom is an ally. Like she has three Black daughters.
Right.
And like, I remember my sister saying, no, don't go down there. That's not for you. And also me coming at her, telling her, I can't talk to you about my hair woes in corporate. And there's so much about the Black experience that she'll never understand. I'll be very honest with you guys and sharing a little bit about my mom. My mom hates white people too with her white ass. She actually, you know, grew up very troubled. And when she left home at like 15, it was a Black family that took her in. And so the way she views just black people and white people, and she knows that they're trash, and just the camaraderie.
Damn, Mandy.
I'm sorry. The camaraderie that she has had and people who have truly looked out for her, because that's kind of innate into black people. Like, we're caring. We literally, you know, we're nurturing. And so for her to have that experience early on, she doesn't have much good things to say about them either. And also to open up with you guys, that side of my family, outside of her mom and her mom's mom, I know none of my cousins, uncles, aunts, because we're black. So I don't have that experience or that closeness with the white side of my family at all. So yeah, she laughs at it and she learns. She opens her ears to learning.
That's
and nice. That's that. Like, she supports everything that this show means, and she supports me. So yeah, there's that.
Nice.
Cracker ass crackers.
Do you guys?
sorry. Do we have time for any more? Or what do you want to do?
We can do one more.
Yeah, because I can Uber.
I feel like this one was already kind of. Did you already
read
this out loud?
I think okay. So.
There's another Mandy one. Mandy, would you like another one? Mandy, why do you keep...
No, I didn't. Oh, you ain't no, even give me the...
No, let's do that, let's say that one on Patreon. Is there another?
Shit. How you gonna say, Mandy, would you like... Actually, let me start
reading.
I'm gonna
just do it. argued. Distaste for white people. You both guys y'all dated. Fucked up teeth. How do you guys manage being business partners but not considering each other friends?
We kind of talked about that.
Yeah. You see, this is what I'm saying. It's a good amount of them.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, you want to do this one?
Yeah.
How do you guys handle conflict between each other or when it comes to choosing guests?
Let's talk about that in regard to choosing guests. So it's interesting because I think for the most part, guests are really not an issue for us at all. Like, we both kind of let the other one, and maybe because we split up our episodes kind of. So Mandy and I record about 2 episodes in a session because our shows are only an hour. So we'll do an hour for one episode, an hour for the other. It just makes more sense timely wise, bringing everybody in, setting up everything and bringing in, you know, our bed in. So I think I like this one because the only thing I feel conflict with is not making sure we have too much of the same type of guest too quickly. For example, if we have like a Dom on back to back or someone that works in BDSM, I think Mandy had brought in Dallas Playhouse and Daya Dare, and she mentioned BDSM with both of them. And I'm like, okay, well, why would we have both of them? And she's like, all right, one person's a rope muse and does electro play. The other one has this. That's probably the only
issue. But see, they be different. Like, even, and that's the thing too. Under this umbrella of sex, there is just so much things untapped. But also there's experiences that Weezy and I don't have. So to be fair,
people are different too.
Yeah, but we can bring in 10 people in BDSM and we're talking about BDSM 10 weeks in a row. A lot of their experiences are not going to be the same. A lot of their takes on certain things aren't going to be the same. What they're into isn't necessarily going to be the same.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that there really is ever really any conflict with guests. I would say conflict comes with after the episode, as far as if maybe we thought they would be a better guest than they were, or, you know, we have to tiptoe on maybe was the conversation good? Again, we mentioned we started putting trigger warnings in front of things. I've been attacked recently for how an episode went. So I think we really talk about the response of the episode and did we really do a good job in the conversation or the outline?
Yeah.
I don't think there's really much conflict though with guests.
I think for our show, it's very easy. I don't know what you guys are going through, but for our show, it's very easy because sex industry, we like it. Next week.
And somehow we're connected to a whole bunch of people in it. I'll be honest. Yes. Tahoe early on was like, how do y'all find all these guests? Bro.
They fall in your lap now.
Bro, but not only that, Troy joined me and my nigga at the nude beach.
Mm-hmm.
Tiana, you know, we talked about how we met. I feel like you and I are, yeah, but we're really in this community.
But people,
we're in this space.
People want to come on this. Like when people meet us, see us, they're like, they tell you what they can bring. Next week, you guys are going to hear from someone who's visually impaired that I met because he came in the studio to check it out. And like the first thing I thought when I knew he couldn't see was like, what's pussy like for you? And he sat with us and I thought he got very vulnerable in order to talk about, right? Like, yeah, I don't.
He was great.
Talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Damn, really?
I didn't say nothing. I ain't even say nothing, bruh.
It's the facial cues, all right?
You know what? And that's the one thing I be like, fuck, we is on YouTube. The YouTube be catching my face.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's okay. Just keep it on her for that one.
If I lost my vision to talk about watching porn, having sexual experiences,
going as far as to talk about dating, people going on my phone while blind. Like, I think that's going to be one of the most interesting episodes we've ever had, because that's a world we're introduced to that has never been explored. We've done disabilities, very lightly touched on disabilities on the show. We could have done.
Yeah, I would like to do more on disabilities.
So, like, I think that was a very necessary conversation. And that's the thing, though. Like, there's so many people we haven't covered. Like, it's just so much to touch on. And it's like never ending. And I'm just glad that basically everybody could come on and talk about sucking dick. So
yeah, I love it.
Thank you guys for supporting us. We know there was a bunch of questions. We're actually going to continue the conversation with more of the questions that you asked on our Patreon this week. So you guys can check these out at the same time you're listening to this episode. Our questions episode will be there as well after this.
Oh yeah. Well, you just got a whole schedule that I am not aware of. She's talking about next week. You gonna hear this? Y'all also gonna hear this on Patreon.
And this is Diva Weezy right here.
This is the diva I'm talking about. How you just sitting here telling them what's gonna happen and you ain't even talked to me first? The same way with these braids.
I thought we did talk about it.
We did not talk about
it. We said we'll release the questions episode.
Nah, bro.
On the day
she talked about this on her Instagram live.
Mandy,
but she didn't talk about it with me, bro.
I said, what do you think? We could just keep continuing this.
This is literally how it goes. Nah, bro. She talked about it with live. I don't know the schedule. She's sitting here. This is what we're gonna do. We have to discuss this
maybe
together.
It was in my head. Honestly, hold on.
Maybe it was in my head.
Was Weezy that y'all talked to?
You know what I mean?
Is that what that was?
Hold on. I really feel like I texted it to Mandy. Dude, there are so many questions. We can do a Patreon part two with this.
Yeah, but you didn't tell me the schedule when we dropping none of that. Cool part two, but you sitting here. Look, you see what I mean? See what I be meaning?
Well, we're not going to edit it out because this is a raw, real moment.
But this is also why I'm a text diva, because I do believe everything needs to be fucking in writing, because, and you know, I'm petty. You'll be like, I didn't see that. I'll go up and fucking react to exactly where the fuck I said.
Yeah, you see, so come on.
I do that. You see? That's a diva.
That's some diva shit.
Because if you or Weezy be like, you didn't say that. Oh, bitch, I'm going to scroll up because y'all going to see where the fuck I said
that. Oh, please. Mandy said something the other day. I told you at a last appointment. I said, Mandy, and then she wrote me back 2 minutes later because I know she must have went to see
I did go up, bitch.
I guess I didn't say that. Fine.
But guys, if you...
might be next week, nigga. I don't know.
Yeah, she don't know nothing. So don't listen to any of the scheduling she just did. But if you guys want to hear the other Patreon episode with questions, go on over to patreon.com/horrible decisions and you guys can hear more there. Also, we did talk about our other pods. So if you want to listen to our other pods, I'll give the spiel of mine and I will pass the mic over to Weezy to tell hers. But I do have two other podcasts, one being Period Sis. It is brought to you by the Official Box Owner, which is my company that focuses on feminine health and the importance of that before going into the bedroom. So we talk about periods. We talk about fibroids. Shout out to Melissa Felix. Shout out to the Whore Hive who donated to her. She had premature ovarian failure. We talk about clots. We talk about literally everything that women have to go through in terms of their box, their reproductive system, and just a lot of the things that we deal with as women before going into the bedroom with our partners. Also, guys, you can now purchase. I have apple cider vinegar gummies. Nice. I also have boric acid suppositories. Those help with pH. They help with a lot of things. Officialboxowner.com. Also, see, the thing is, I am one half over there, possibly soon one third, but I'm over there talking about all the current events that Weezy and I kind of don't get to talk about because of how we record over here at Horrible Decisions. So we talk about everything that's pop culture. We talk about music. We have a freshly squeezed segment where we do actually play music. I love talking about music. And we always talk about television and TV and things going on like that. So check out See the Thing Is and go ahead and tell them about chickens laying eggs and fucking. I didn't even.
Dude, man, we be talking about some random. It's so fun because, like, the way we just be picking topics, eggs. All right. Did you see the clip where Eddie and I did Black Facts? And he.
Not Black Facts, but I did see. One where you...
With gospel?
You introduced Eddie, yourself as something.
Oh, Eddie said her braids are tight and her money's right. Wow. This motherfucker's nuts. But we did recently Black Facts, Love, and then we did Witchcraft. When we did Black Facts, I did Black Churches as one of the facts. And like where it came from, when why do we shout and stuff? And I played this song called Stomp, which y'all should know by Kirk Franklin. And he's listening to it and he goes, well, Jesus in the house. Jesus wants a drink and so do you.
Oh my God. Now, and guys, we've had Eddie on the show.
We do
so Eddie DeLiseppe is Weezy's host over there on For Fact's Sake. He's so go fun. Listen to that. And we've also had my co-host on my other show here on Horrible Decisions, Bridget Kelly. Shout out Bridget Kelly.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right. We have both had him on. Yo, we should do a
both
mix
of them
at the same time.
Eddie lives West Coast.
He's going to be coming here to film some episodes in person.
We should do that.
That would be funny.
We should
Yo,
do
can
that.
You imagine Eddie and Bridget?
Eddie and Bridget Kelly? No, I cannot.
That would be really
That would
funny.
Be interesting.
He's going to be like, well, Eddie got an eye for everybody. I know I got a girlfriend, but whoa.
See, the facts are. we're going to fucking
no, that would be funny. We should
blend
do that.
That shit up.
That would be fun.
But no, make sure, again, guys, we're going to play you guys a 5-minute clip. Go on over to Patreon. That's patreon.com/horrible decisions. Also, you guys see me wearing a shirt. If we're not all sold out, go on over now to whorehive.com and get our merch. We got Black Sexcellence, Yeho, Last Night I Made a Horrible Decision.
This is not our merch if you're on YouTube. The yes. cups on the table in this. This is part of our top tier patron gift thing. Okay.
It's a gift thing. So yeah. Anyways, guys, thank you guys for listening to yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Bye. Yeah,
and how am I going to tell you that I have a bae when I'm just fucking a nigga at first?
Right. But bro, we also like... We share and give so much of ourselves. Do you know how it feels to just kind of want something of your own? Like, my mom is coming up next week, and Weezy was like, let's see if she wants to come on the show. And I said, honestly, I don't want to bring my mom on the show anymore. I mean, our audience is way bigger than what it used to be. And there's so many parts of myself that I don't feel like I have to myself. And so my relationship right now, my family, I want to hold something sacred. Because, bitch, y'all just feel entitled to every time my pussy ass and mouth get bust wide open. And I do. I kind of want to keep some of that stuff to myself. Is that okay with you?
Honestly totally understand that. And I think I didn't understand that until, like, public figure shit came. I want to tell you something, too, I thought was really dope. So, you know, we don't really have celebrities on Horrible Decisions, but on my new show, Fuse has put a great budget into it and really want this to be like a debuting show in this realm. They've never done something like this. And they have some celebrities on the show. And I said to the head of talent, he's here in New York. He flew down to be here. I said, you know, I really appreciate what you guys are doing because like, I know like nobody knows me. And he's like, I don't know why you keep saying that. He said, because every rep I get on the phone with, he's like, if the rapper doesn't know you, if the celebrity doesn't know you, their fucking manager is like, I love Horrible Decisions. Which one is it? He's like, not one hasn't known Horrible Decisions. He's like, somebody on the team will tell me about the podcast. They'll offer me to send you clothes. They can't wait to talk about it. And he's like, you are, but you aren't. And you have to remember that like you 100% are a public figure. He said, and if you didn't feel like that a few years ago, I get it. He was like, but this is changing. And he said, even the accessibility, you know, he talked about my safety with doing this in-studio consults. Like I let people come in the studio and consult with me instead of on Zoom. And I actually removed it because of something he said to me. I've been in the studio, Mandy, literally taking Zoom calls or even working on my Fuse show and people like knock on the door. And they're like, oh, we just wanted to see the space or whatever. And so like, we've totally changed. And Alex is like, we're putting cameras in there. And the thing is with our doorman in the building, like we let them know, like, sure, of course people can come up. And now we've totally changed that. Now I have to call down and say who's allowed to come up. Like we've 100% changed the structure because it's true. Like,
I agree.
That's happening to Charlemagne. You know what I'm saying?
I ain't going to hold you even with scheduling, you know, this weekend, when you told me it was booked, that's why I said, oh, you have a booking at 3 to 4? Okay, let's do 12 to 2.
Dude, it feels amazing.
I felt like, damn, if I can make it to where I don't have to run into someone, because I know that your place is getting booked, not only by peers of ours, but fans, I ain't trying to meet and greet, bitch, every time I come to the studio.
We were at Gotham and people were in there too. Like, but it does feel good to be busy. That's a great feeling, man. I can't tell you. But no, we need to block out. I mean, I know right now I'm busy and you're busy, but like we'll have our scheduled date and time. But no, it feels really good to be able to be busy. It's just like, yeah, life is changing and it feels really good. Money need to change, ho. Okay. This one I think is good. And I know a lot of you guys have questions about this.
Can you guys talk about the progression of your relationships? I know Mandy's boo is perfect, but have you had any have you had any doubts recently, the longer you're with your partners? I've noticed Weezy has more passive aggressive about Obey jokes. I know it's a joke and he's your person, but do you feel a change in your dynamic in the relationship? So I joke about Obey more because I feel like it's been funner to joke about it because I'm more comfortable in my situation. And for two, I think Mandy is really in love. And I feel like I was feeling like that 2 years ago when I met Obey. So I kind of like playing the devil's advocate. But I don't necessarily notice that, like, I don't know. I mean, shit, Obey just left here this morning. He's been so supportive with my show and helping me. And fucking, we actually used his apartment for a scene because my building wouldn't approve if you use the location rights. And I was freaking out. They wanted to put me in some random Airbnb. And I was like, oh my God, bro. Like, no, this doesn't match my aesthetic. This is stupid. Like, I was really freaking out. And he was like, take mine, because he owns his crib. And he's been really great, man. Like, I just joke around about him because he ain't shit. Because he ain't. What about your perfect?
I mean, that is the thing. I mean, he's so perfect. Like, yeah, he just left this morning as well.
Mandy, you gotta say something wrong about him so we feel like we're all normal.